Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Garage Talk Live. We were off last week. I had some personal things to attend to, but everything is back on track. And the chase rolls on, race two in the books. Countdown to the championship in the NHRA. Had a little catching up to do, running the finals for Z-Max and their race one weekend using the Texas Dragway in Dallas to catch up on theirs as well. So they have two events in the books. This weekend coming up will be number three at the Monster Mile, one of my old home track. We'll have my correspondent and partner Tammy, who will be covering the race, joining us later on in the show, but we'll to preview the upcoming event at Dover. And when we make our picks, I already have in mind who I know is going to win. So I'll go with that a little later. In the Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series in the Top Fuel Division, might as well get this started from this end. Tony Schumacher wound up taking Wally over J.R. Todd. This also being the first race where Brittany Force did not even qualify, which is kind of rare because she's made every race this year. But Schumacher victorious. She solidifies his lead in the points in the Top Fuel division by 106 over Steve Torrance. Doug Coletta is in the third spot. Defending champ Sean Langdon is fourth. He's 115 back. The runner-up in this weekend's event, J.R. Todd, he is 128 back. Spencer Massey, who's in sixth, is 129 back. Khalid Al-Balushi, who wound up going to the finals for the Charlotte race that was run in Texas on qualifying day, he is seventh in points, 140 back. Antron Brown, who was the champ a couple of years ago, he's in eighth, 153 back. Richie Crampton is 211 back, and Brittany Force, who did not make the field, is down to 243 back. So her chances of winning a championship this year, it's only her sophomore year, so you got to give her some credit. She's still looking for her first Wally as it is, but instead of going the family way in the funny car division, she decided to go with Top Fuel division. But that makes her the fastest member of the family because they run times in the 3.5 to 3.7 to 3.8 second range, where the funny cars are usually in the 4.0 to 4.1. So she's still the fastest member of the family. In the funny car division, Courtney Force, the winningest female in a Nitro Funny Cars, surpassing her sister Ashley, being she's had the chance to compete longer. Ashley left to have a child in 2010 after finishing runner-up to Rob Height. It was a 2009. She finished runner-up to her teammate Rob Height that year, and her father. She left to have a baby, and Father John wound up picking up the championship a year later. So Courtney's left to hold the mantle in the funny car division for the Force family. She's the heir apparent if John decides to retire. So she wound up facing a tough customer in Del Worsham. Our guest who was on last week, Alexis DeJoria, had made it to the third round, losing to Worsham, the eventual finalist. Courtney's time was a 4.227 to Worsham's 4.3. The speed eclipsed for Cordy at 301 miles an hour, and Worsham was 285 miles an hour. Of course, Courtney maintaining the number one qualifying spot. Qualifying, she gained 12 bonus points there, and then you get 20 per round win for a total of 80 in the elimination. So she walked away with 93 points. That puts her in the fourth spot. Her father, John, who had a rough day of it. He lost to Tommy Johnson Jr. in the second round. Went all the way to the finals before finishing runner-up for the ZMAX event. So he gained some points there, but fell a little short. But he still maintains the funny car points by 45 over Rob Height, his teammate. Matt Hagen is third, is 49 back, and Courtney is a 61 back. Alexis DeJoria, who was in the fourth spot, dropped to 94 back into a fifth-place tie with Ron Capps, who also has 94 back. So they're not out of it yet. Figure that's one good weekend away. You can make up that many points. Courtney had, what did I say, 93? Well, actually 92. Figured 12 points for holding number one down and 80 for elimination. So there's 92 points right there that can be made up real quick. Tommy Johnson Jr. is 96 back, so he's not out of it. As we get to the bottom three, Del Worsham, 123, Tim Wilkerson at 135, and Cruz Pedregon in the 10th spot at 165 back, have a little bit more of a road to hoe. In the pro stock car division, Dave Connolly wound up taking the Wally against Shane Gray. Erica Ender Stevens, who came in to eliminations, qualified sixth, did not get any bonus points in the qualifying rounds, and only had 20 points for getting into the second round. She won her first round versus Roger Brogdon. So the points are a little bit shaken up in the pro stock division, because going into the countdown, Kenders was in the top spot, and within the last 2 weeks, she dropped down to the fourth spot. She's 59 back, but she took a couple weeks off. I think if she would have stayed there, the point gap in those 2 weeks that she took off wouldn't have been, she wouldn't have been caught up to as much, and she might have been able to stay. She had joined us on the show, and I thought it might have been a sponsor thing, but they wanted to tweak on something. I guess they should have left things alone, because her car hasn't been the same since. So Jason Lyons now holding the top spot by 43 over Dave Connolly, yesterday's winner. Shane Gray is third. He's 48 back. Like I said, for Erica Ender Stevens, fourth at 59 back. Jonathan Gray, he's fifth, he's 74 back. Vincent Nobile, sixth, he's 80 back. So there's a good swing right there where that ground can be made up. Alan Johnson at 100 back, he's got an outside chance. And he's a tough customer, too. He's in seventh. Chad Coughlin in eighth, he's 116 back. V Gaines in ninth at 163 behind. And Chris McGahey rounds out the top 10 in points. He's 193 back. In the motorcycle division, pro stock bike, it's Andrew Hines, who took the Wally over Steve Johnson, who had a problem on the starting line, and his teammate Eddie Krawick drive the Harleys. Krawick didn't, who was the number one qualifier, didn't get out of the first round. So uh, Hines had to go against Jerry Savoie, had to go against Hector Arana Sr. in round one, Jerry Savoie in round two, looked like he red light. That's Polacek in the semifinals, and in the finals against Steve Johnson. So in the points there, Andrew Hines leads the points for Harley. Eddie Krawick is in second. They both ride for Vance Hines, both ride Harleys, so it's a 1-2 year for Harley right now. Third is Steve Johnson in a Suzuki. Hector Arana Jr. is fourth. He's 125 back. He lost a spot. He's in a Buell. Matt Smith, 133 back. Scott Polacek, he's sixth. He's 158 back. I think the bikes are more spread out, so it's going to be tougher to make up ground here. John Hall, seventh, 163 back. Hector Arana Sr., he's 180 back. Angie Smith, who's Matt Smith's wife, she's 208 back. She's held her position, and Michael Ray Jr. gained a spot. Going in, he is 231 back. So, laying out. So I'm looking for Andrew Hines probably to win this championship. And if his teammate, Eddie Krawick, doesn't catch up with him, then it doesn't matter. It's going to be a Harley winning the championship in the bike division. That'll wrap it up because coming up this weekend is the AAA Insurance NHRA Midwest Nationals, September the 26th through 28th in St. Louis. If you want to get out there, you can get tickets at gatewaymsp.ticketforce.com. You want to take a ride down and see the Gateway Arch there and always fun to watch the NHRA in action, especially the Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series, which is basically your top two Nitro divisions in pro stock bikes and cars. Don't forget to go on Facebook to SMAC Motorsports Racing, and if you want to help them out, they're racing to help veterans this year. So anything you can do, check out the page and hit a like button. It pauses for that's SMAC Motorsports Racing. We've had the driver for them, Kenneth Lowell Smith, on a couple weeks ago, and he's looking to help out veterans that come back suffering from PTSD. In NASCAR, it was a busy weekend. Of course, a split weekend. All the same, you had the trucks and the Cup Series at the New Hampshire Motor Speedway in Loudoun. And Nationwide was out at Kentucky Speedway out in Sparta, not too far from me, maybe about 3-4 hours. And we have the results from there. Let's start with the Truck Series, who ran Saturday afternoon. That race off at 1 o'clock. Cole Custer, who started on the pole for the Haas Automation Chevrolet. I guess he's driving for Stuart Haas Racing. I guess they're starting a truck race there, get a minor league program going. Started on the pole, finished first. Darryl Bubba Wallace Jr. wound up second. Matt Crafton took the third spot. Johnny Sauter hanging in fourth. John H. Nemechek fifth. And Cameron Haley is sixth. Eric Jones, seventh. Tyler Reddick was eighth. Joey Coulter was ninth. And Ryan Blaney rounded out the top ten. Off day for Blaney, I guess, because usually runs near the front of the pack. The race took an hour 43 minutes, 40 seconds. Average speed, 107 mile an hour. Margin of victory, 1.1 seconds. There were five lead changes amongst three leaders, and five cautions for 23 laps in the 175 lap event. So it was a pretty clean race, and it's good to see somebody new take the win. Of course, somebody doesn't see too often. Usually it's one of the regulars that are in, that win the race. Matt Crafton back up in the top spot as the lead back from Johnny Sauter, who's 7 points back. Ryan Blaney now in third. He's 24 back. Darrell Wallace Jr., fourth. He's 35 back. Herman Quiroga is fifth. He's 72 back. Joey Coulter is seventh. He's 75 back. Ben Kennedy is in seventh. He's 93 back. Timothy Peters, 94 back. Jeb Burton in ninth. He's 111 back. And Ron Hornaday Jr. is in 10th. He is 142 back. Of course, Ron Hornaday has the most championships in the Truck Series over anybody. So he's always looking to pad that lead. And there's only 5 races in the Truck Series, so it was only race number 16, so they're going to count down there. The next truck race will be this coming weekend out at Las Vegas when everybody else will be at Dover. The trucks run at Dover in the June race, June weekend, but not the October weekend. There's actually September weekend. This year it's late September since they've made it the third race in the chase. It used to be the second, and it was like a week earlier, but this weekend, Dover having some special features going on there because this is the third race of the challenge portion. And whoever, this will be the first elimination. So whoever's at the bottom of the pile, we'll get into that in a little bit, will be eliminated from the chase, cutting the field from 16 down to 12. So that should be pretty interesting there. So we'll just have to see. We have race winner Cole Custer talking about his run at the in the truck race, and here's what he had to say. So in a second, little old I have my pop-up blocker on. It's treating everything as a pop-up. But here is Cole Custer.
Okay, let's roll right into our winning team for today's 17th annual UNOH 175 NASCAR Camping World Truck Series. And our winning driver is Cole Custer. He drives the number 00 Haas Automation Chevrolet. He's joined by Crew Chief Joe Shear Jr. And Cole becomes the youngest winner in NASCAR National Series history, 16 years, 7 months, 28 days. He is a NASCAR Next member. And certainly had an outstanding performance out here today. I also heard that race sponsor UNOH provided you with an extra special presentation, Ghislaine, that you might want to share with us as well. But just congratulations, Cole. Just talk about how this victory feels.
I mean, it's great. I mean, we've been, this is our seventh race or something like that, and we've been pretty good every single time we've gone out, and just we've qualified always good and just kind of struggled in the race. Not struggled, but just ran top 10 or whatever, and finally having to have a great truck this weekend, and we was able to take the lead, which is our big deal because the clean air was so good, and after that, we just kind of pulled away and was trying to manage my tires a little bit, and after that, I was just trying to get back to the front, and when we took four tires, which I think was a great call, we two tires was not as fast. It was hard to pass, but we were able to get up there, so, I mean, it could have gone either way, but definitely turned out good. And, yeah, UNOH offered me a scholarship. I can't believe that. And
presidential scholarship, I'm told. They just don't hand those out. Trust me. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations. Very, very exciting day today. You held off the series, defending series champion. And how did that feel to, come back up there after you kind of got shuffled in the pack there a little bit, and you had to come up there through the ranks. Tell us how you did that.
When I got back there, I was able to get my timing down on the restarts. My first one was okay, and then after that, I started really trying to time it right and get good runs down the straightaway, and I could see where Matt was getting to the gas every single time, so I knew how to get a good run on him. And after that, it was just trying to hold off Bubba for the win, and I had to get a little bit rough on my way up there, but, I mean, that's just racing, and I think I didn't wreck anybody, so, I mean, it's just so hard to pass, but that's pretty much just our day.
And there's your race winner, Cole Custer, so get a nice scholarship, the UONH, University of New Hampshire. However they got it put. Anyway, presidential scholarship. He's youngest series, national series winner at, what did he say, 16 years, 7 months. He's not even 17 yet. I don't even get my driver's license until 17. This guy wins a truck series race. So hats off to Cole, and good luck to him. In the nationwide series, out of Kentucky, Brendan Gaughan was able to ruin Ty Dillon's day. Ty Dillon started from the pole, led four times for 155 laps. Looked like he was on his way to clean up the Brendan Gaughan and Chase Elliott had a couple of shots for him. Brendan Gaughan and Elliott led once for 20 laps, but Brendan Gaughan was able to capitalize on some restarts there and take the lead late. He led two times for 22 laps, of course. The last one being the important one, was able to take home the checkered flag, made the race seem a little interesting at the end there, and going driving the number 62 South Point Chevy for Richard Childress is Ty Dillon's teammate. But Brendan Gaughan has been driving in the truck series a while, almost had a championship 1 year, and wound up getting wrecked on the last race of the season that cost him that. He's actually been on the show several times. Maybe we can get him back on, and he's always a good conversationalist. Brian Scott wound up finishing second. Ty Dillon relegated to the third spot. Chase Elliott, who was up in the lead for a little bit, got caught on a restart and wound up getting passed by Brendan Gaughan, and then he was faded back behind Scott and Dillon, finishing fourth. Regan Smith who's battling his teammate Chase Elliott for a nationwide championship, finished fifth. Cale Connolly was sixth. Chris Buescher, seventh. Eighth was Michael McDowell, who was driving the number 22 discount tire Ford for the Penske's. When being the regular drivers were in Loudon this week, either whether it's Ryan Blaney, Joey Logano, or Brad Keselowski, he usually fills in that ride. I mean, yeah, they were in for the Cup race, so they wound up sticking Michael McDowell in the 22 car, respectful eighth place finish for him. Ninth was Justin Boston, and 10th, Ross Chastain. And Ryan Reed, driver the number 16 Ford ADA, drive to stop diabetes. I'll have to give a plug out to him as I have some fans that are fans of his. So he wound up 11th. As far as the race goes, it took 2 hours, 21 minutes, and 36 seconds. Average speed, 127.119. Margin of victory, it was fairly close at 0.87 seconds, so under a second difference, figure eight car lengths, about a car length of 10th. So that's how close it was, as Vaughn was able to step it out a little bit off the restart and lead the rest of the way. As the points go, Chase Elliott leads Reagan Smith now by 20. As that gap opens up a bit, Ty Dillon is in third spot. He is 18 back of Reagan Smith. Brian Scott's in fourth. Elliott Sadler in fifth place. Trevor Bain in sixth. Chris Buescher seventh. Brendan Gaughan eighth. Ninth, Ryan Reed. And 10th, Cousin James Buescher. That's how the standing stack up in the Nationwide Series. Here we got a little bit of Brendan Gaughan after his win.
All right. We're going to go ahead and roll into our post-race press conference with our race winner and race-winning crew chief. We've been joined. Now, the race winner, driver of number 62 South Point Chevrolet, Brendan.
Protect the Harvest this week.
Protect the Harvest.
Protect the Harvest. Lucas
Protect Oil. The Harvest Chevrolet, driver Brendan Gaughan, and his race winning crew chief, Shane Wilson. And Brendan, we'll start with you. An incredible pass there at the end. You had the four fresh tires when a lot of the other competitors took two. That definitely came into play there at the end. But
fortunately for Shane, because Shane was extremely nervous, just along with me, with about 20 to go. And, it did work out. Four tires did work. But, you know, the main thing is about 14 years ago, I started doing something different on restarts. And Shane taught me, basically, him and a guy named Dwayne North taught me something a little different on restarts. And I've been using it forever. It goes back to off-road days, something that I do. And I love restarting. When that caution came out, we were fourth. I got really excited because I knew we were on the outside, and you know, I thought we'd have a good one, and we did. Went down the back straightaway and pushed my teammate. You know, if I got two to choose, you got to choose your teammate. You know, I chose Ty. I pushed him down the back straightaway, and he got a launch into turn three, but it was just too much. And the nine, you know, did an over under on him. And when they got side by side, I've been doing this a long time. I know what air looks like just enough, and I said my motor's going to be revved up. And our ECR Chevy was, you know, on the pipe, and they slowed each other down. And as soon as I cleared them into one, I hoped that I'd had enough. Earlier when we got the lead at the start of the race, we pulled away pretty good. And I said, well, you know, once we had clean air once, let's see if it worked again. And, man, I couldn't believe we were able to take off like that. And great job by Shane. Great job by all the boys at the shop. It was a great Chevrolet. It unloaded fantastic. I put one little thing on it in practice, and I think it finished without a mark on it. So, I mean, you know, that's what you're supposed to do, and thank you to Richard Childress. We were first, second, third, and sixth. So, I mean, what a great day for RCR and ECR engines, and you can't ask for a better day.
And, Brendan, you said earlier in several interviews throughout the season that you knew if you could get with Shane in the right teams around you with Richard Childress Racing, you could win races. And now you have won two races this season, one on a road course and now one on an oval.
You know, this one right here is pretty darn special. I mean, you know, to get back everybody to the road course, you know, we had rain and people, you know, you can say what you want, but that was very, very special to me and a very special racetrack. Kentucky is one of those on the oval side that's the same thing. I think this is statistically my best racetrack, whether it's truck or nationwide. It's always been great for me, except for one test with Ray Everham, but let's just not talk about that. forgot about that. That was here. Huh? Yeah. But, you know, other than that, this has always been a great place for me, and you know, it just, I don't want to say the word vindication, but it definitely feels good to do it on an oval. And not only to do it, but to be able to pass, you know, the I call them the future, but they're here. So, you know, pass some of the shining stars of the Nationwide Series, and they will be shining stars in the Cup Series, you know, very soon someday. So to be able to pass them both and the way we did it and the teamwork, my guys on pit road are fantastic. We're a Nationwide-only deal. I don't have Cup teams coming for me. I got a 62 bunch that come every race for me, and they do a phenomenal job with the Cup teams every week that come in and out to do this. And they make it possible, like good pit stops, keep us in position. Shane did a good job of calling the race. He's still kicking himself over two tires early, not two tires on the first stop, but it doesn't matter because in the end we're sitting in victory lane and we're in the media center. So I think it was a great call, Shane.
Hey, have Brendan going. Oh, yeah, I said he was a character, but had to get his he was revved up for the press conference. Poor NASCAR PR lady was just let Brendan go because she knows he loves to talk and he's a talker. Now, if we're going to the Cup side, and here's where the fun begins, you have Joey Logano taking home the checkered flag for Team Penske. Now, this was a race that Kevin Harvick led a good bit of. Logano's teammate Brad Keselowski was on the pole, and he led 78 laps. Harvick led 104. Vickers led 15 laps. Denny Hamlin led a good bit, but he found problems with the wall. So his chances of finishing good. So it looked like it was going to come down to Keselowski or Harvick. And then Brad caught the wall, too. He scuffed it with the back end and then caught it again, but still was able to hang on for a seventh-place finish. If he would have won that race yesterday, it would have been his third straight win. Figure he won Richmond. He won last week at Chicagoland. He was in a position to win this week at Loudoun. Now, Harvick, who is probably the best shot for Stuart Haas to get a championship this year, he was fighting for that. He had a good starting spot, third, and led a good one-third of the race, basically. He had the bonus points for the most laps, leading 104 laps. Nobody was close. But the eventual winner came up to be Joey Logano, who was doing good on some restarts yesterday and wound up taking the lead on keeping the lead on the last restart to take home the checkered flag. Of course, now that puts him into the next round, which carries over. So you don't have to worry about Dover. Neither does Keselowski, because once you win, you move on. So that puts pressure on somebody at the bottom of the points list who might want to get into that next round. If they win this next race, then they're going to move into the next round as well, because the bottom four will be bounced down as the chase continues. Kyle Larson, who's not in the chase, wound up finishing second. Harvick wound up third. Jimmy McMurray fourth. He wasn't in the chase either. Jimmy Johnson fifth. He's in the chase. I'm picking him to win next week. I'm going to make that call early. He's the king of Dover. He has 8 wins there, including the last two races there. Eric Amarola is sixth. Seventh is Brad Keselowski. Kyle Busch was eighth. Ninth, Dale Jr. And 10th was Brian Vickers. So pretty good run for all that. They did go one. They did go for the green-white checker, but they ran overtime. They had a caution with about four laps to go, so that kind of was the number 15 on the night. There were, 15 cautions for 63 laps. A lot of them, all of them were in the second half of the race and made it kind of exciting there. 3 hours, 14 minutes, 53 seconds, 98.69 miles an hour, margin of victory 1.5. As we go to the point, this is Brad Keselowski leading, Joey Logano second in the points. This is as the chase goes. These are all chasers, the top 16 guys I'm going to give you. And third place is Kevin Harvick, who, like I said, who didn't win. But so far we've got two different winners in the chase. That's Brad Kay and Joey Logano, but they both ride for Penske. Now you got the two Chevys of Harvick and Jimmy Johnson, two different teams, Stuart Haas and Rick Hendrick. Fifth, Kyle Busch. Sixth, Dale Jr. Jeff Gordon, seventh. Eighth is Matt Kenseth. Ninth, Carl Edwards. Carl Edwards moving to Gibbs Racing. They announced sponsorships for that team this past week. Edwards getting the Stanley sponsorship from RPM, and Kenseth is getting his DeWalt colors back from when he worked at Roush. Marcus Ambrose is leaving Richard Petty Motorsports and going back to Australia to drive in the V8 Supercar Series. He should do really good there. He was a champ from there, but now guess who his boss is? Roger Penske. So he'll, I guess he'll be in a Ford. So that's pretty interesting. Ambrose spent a few years here. He had been on I've interviewed him a few times at Dover, and he's been on the show a couple times earlier in his career, back in the truck days when they'd all come on. So seventh in the points, Gordon. Eighth, Kenseth. Ninth, Carl Edwards. 10th, A.J. Allmendinger. Kane, 12th, Newman. Denny Hamlin, 13th. 14th is Greg Biffle. Kurt Busch is 15th. And 16th is Eric Amarola. So right there's your bottom four. Should these not change next week points-wise, so if I pick Jimmy Johnson to win, that's going to bounce everybody down, depending on where they finish. We'll see who's eliminated. But right now, looking at it, Amarola, Kurt Busch, Greg Biffle, and Denny Hamlin are on the bubble. All four of those could go. So makes Dover a pretty important race. Not that it's not important, because it is a chase race and always has been. But when the chase comes in, and now you have an elimination factor, then you have a pen, and you have tendency for something more to happen, because somebody has to win that to move on, and somebody has to fight to stay in. So you have a double a whammy going there. So we do have audio from our winner. This is Joey Logano after taking home race number two in the chase. And joining his Penske teammate Brad Keselowski in round two, which is races 4, 5, and 6. And we'll get to that.
Okay, our race winner, today's 18th annual Sylvania 300, and punching his ticket to the contender round in the 2014 chase for the NASCAR Sprint Cup is Joey Logano, and he drives the number 22 Shell Pennzoil Ford for Key Racing. He's joined up here by his crew chief, Todd Gordon, and vice chairman of Penske Racing, Walt Czarnecki. And Joey, congratulations. Very strong showing. You look like you made your move there when you needed to make it. You saved your stuff. The car was at its best at the end of the race, and that's certainly how you like to have things go. Congratulations. Talk about today's win.
Thanks. Yeah, a lot went into this one, that's for sure. Just kind of taking it back to when we unloaded, we were okay, and then yesterday in practice we were so. I didn't feel like we were great, and towards the end of practice made a couple changes, found some speed. Started 7th today, and was able to work our way up a little bit in the beginning of the race. Felt like, okay, we got something that we can contend with for a victory with, and so everything worked out right. And we ran around top 3 most of the day, and we came in, put 2 tires on, and a couple cars stayed out. And at that point, I had a bad restart 3rd, and then I had another bad restart when I restarted 5th, and that put a 6th or so, and the caution came out, and Todd put 4 tires on it. At that point, I thought he was crazy because we came out 16th, and I was like, well, let's just try to salvage something out of this and try to get a top 10 or top 5, because our goal coming into the race is, get to the next round, right? We got to get to the next round to win the championship. That's our ultimate goal, to win the championship. And we had to get through this day the best we could, and had some really good restarts. Before I knew it, I was sitting 3rd. I'm like, huh, I got a shot at winning this thing. I got 30 laps newer tires than anybody, and we were able to capitalize with that. And then, of course, just caution after caution after caution, and, making me nervous, that's for sure. And I don't know if Todd and Walt were, but I know I was, and we were able to capitalize and have some good restarts and be here in victory lane. It's just, to me, this is almost like Daytona, such a special place for me. I watched my first Cup race here when I was 5, and I started my first one, and I won my first one, and, it's after the week I had, in Connecticut, and doing some really cool fundraisers and stuff. To top it off with a victory is really neat.
Well, congratulations, Joey. And Todd Gordon, talk about maybe some of the things that you guys did as a team to get the car better and wind up in victory lane.
It was a strategy race. It seemed like, just first 2/3 of the race kind of played out the way I would expect it to. 2 tires on the, letting fuel dictate it. And like Joey said, we hung around the top 5, I think, for a large portion of it. But the caution came there early 200s. It was short of our fuel window, but you could sense that everybody was coming. So we came and took 2 and put fuel in it, but we were short, and we weren't in a position to finish the race, and stayed out the next caution that came, because we were, what led up to that was a multiple cautions, and wanted to see how many laps of caution we get, but we had 1, we stayed out, and then it went green for a little while, and caution came back out with like 52 or 53 to go, and we're short, and the last thing we needed to do was to run out of gas trying to stretch something here and take a strong points position and a strong points day and throw it out the window and have to go to Dover strapping for making it through. So took the opportunity to come down pit road, put Joey on offense. I think he's an awesome offensive player. So put 4 tires on him, put fuel in him, and let him do his thing. I think it was awesome to watch him restart 16th, and I think in 4 laps he was 6th. So high, wide, and handsome.
There you have race winner Joey Logano and crew chief Todd Gordon talking about the big win. Well, as we said, it all goes down to Dover, and of course, we will be there. Tammy Allman will be covering the race. I think she got credentials for it. Did you, Tam?
Yep. Yep, me and Mike Lace will be down there this weekend bringing everybody all the action going on at Dover.
We're going to get some interviews, or just going to be doing all some picture taking. Send me some audio.
I'm going to be running around like crazy this weekend. We have all kinds of plans, and we said we're going to sit down this week and divvy up everybody's schedule so we can try and get it all done.
That's cool. Well, that's good. At least you were able to get in. I know there's been, you know how many times that I've never, that I haven't gotten a confirmation letter and I had to call down there? At least, at least about three or four times over the course of going to Dover. They never said, me, hey, guy, what's the word? Oh, yo, you're good.
Yeah, and with my email and everything, with us in the move and all, we weren't sure with internet connections what was going on. So, you know, I got a hold of Brian, who's been taking care of us down there, and we were all set. So we're looking forward to it. We're planning our travel now, and we're going to go down, and we're going to cover some racing, and, you know, we're looking forward to it. We should be seeing some good racing action this weekend down there.
Well, it's going to be a real good event, and you know why? Because this is it. This is the challenge round eliminations, and the bottom four of the points are eliminated. The field will be, the chase field will be 12 going into what they call the contender round.
Right.
And right now, it's Team Penske. You had, what, Brad Keselowski winning race one at Chicago. You had Joey Logano winning race two in Loudon. And I got to go. I got to go with Jimmy Johnson taking Dover. He's the king of Dover.
No.
He's won the last two races there. I mean, including the last chase race and this race. If I pick Johnson for anything, win, lose, or not, I'm picking him for Dover. So that'll put him into the contender round. But then I'm looking at the guys at the bottom of the heap, though. And it's going to be iffy for some of them, especially like who's down there? Where we go? Amarola, Kurt Busch, Greg Biffle, Denny Hamlin. They're your bottom four right now. And, of course, that could change if they have some good runs and the next batch up have some bad runs, like Allmendinger, Kane, Newman. You know, they could swap spots, but that's going to be a bit different. So I'm curious to see how this plays out, because the way this chase has been going, it's I'm still getting used to how it goes.
I know. It's like a learning curve. I need an instruction manual for this just to keep up with everything. But, I mean, I'm bad for this because I'm horrible when it comes to change. I am always dead set against it. You know, if it isn't broke, well, I fix it. But it does create an excitement for the fan and gives them something a little bit different. But it gets a little confusing at times, too.
Well, I think they're trying to keep interest in the sport at the end of the year. Football's coming along. It seems to be everybody goes to football and you lose your interest in the race. At least now if they play it a little different, you know, maybe you can even, like football or March Madness, you can actually bet on it if you want to, you know, get a gambling aspect into it. Of course, NASCAR won't condone that publicly, but you know how things go. Once people start betting on things, it tends to draw a bigger audience.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't been watching the gambling.
Young lady, turning pro on the motocross circuit, huh?
I did. I earned my pro license. I had my first pro race in less than 2 weeks, and I dropped off all my bike plastics today to start the lettering process. Identity Graphics is hooking us up and making sure we look nice and professional out there and fitting in with all the specs and everything that we have to have for the bike. I got issued, my pro number was 450. So that's my number, and I think the nerves are starting to kind of sink in a little bit, too. I mean, this is really going to happen. I'm going to be racing against the world's best women in less than 2 weeks, so it's pretty cool.
Now, are you going to be racing, like, on a touring schedule or strictly at Englishtown?
We have been lucky. I've been running Pine Creek Motocross all year in their series, And if we had everything figured out correctly, because we're not positive they're keeping points or not, but we've been keeping our own points because we want to know. I am technically right now atop of the points chart at their track after my last win there, with one more race to go in November. And then we've been focusing on practice pretty much now, now that we have some area that we can practice on, and getting ready. This is the first time I'll be going to Englishtown in a little over a year. So it's going to be a big challenge, but I'm looking forward to what we have. The way our schedule is set up is we'll be practicing next on the track, and then we have Sunday we'll be racing against all the local girls that come to town for K-Rock, which is the Kawasaki Race of Champions. And then Sunday we're going to be running in the WMX main event.
I thought that was a radio station, K-Rock.
No, it's just how they abbreviate the Kawasaki Race of Champions. It's pretty cool. It's really exciting and kind of nerve-wracking, too, because these girls are really fast. Now, there's a couple I've run against before in previous years, so that's kind of nice. But then there's some I've never run against. I've only ever watched. And it's exciting. I'm hoping that they do come to town to run because I can't wait to race them. One of the girls we're hoping that comes in is Ashley Fiolik, who is deaf and one of the top lady racers. So I think it'd be really cool to have a chance to run against her.
She'll never hear you coming.
You know, I'll hear her coming when she comes to lap me, though, I'm sure.
Well, is she that good?
She's very good. She's one of the top ladies right now. The top girl's last name is Trikler. I can't remember her first name off the top of my head. But if she comes in, she's going to be coming out from Australia, which would be really cool.
Ah, you could split a Foster's and have a time at the Barbie afterwards.
I think it'd be really
That's pretty neat, though, if you're running against some international things now. The NHRA is headed up to your neck of the woods in a couple weeks. They'll be up at Maple Grove.
I know. I don't know. I don't think that fits, though. I think I have a funny feeling they're there the same weekend we go down to Englishtown.
How ironic is that?
Yeah, it's like everything got piled in on top
October.
Of each other right now. Yeah, first week of October, that's K-Rock. So, yeah, we're going to go to the other racetrack.
Yeah, we got to work on something here with them. So I can go to cover them down here. I don't know what their deadlines are for credentials for each track. Because last time when we went to Englishtown, we were, you know, we're ahead of schedule, so.
Right.
So I don't know if they're, like, they cut you off at a month or what, but the Forces, it seems like John Force is on his way to another championship. Young Courtney now is the winningest female funny car driver.
Oh,
can you
believe
that?
That's really cool. I like
that. Ashley left to have babies. I think if they were competing head-to-head, it might be a little different. I'm not knocking either their talent. They're both great. But it seemed to be like the year of the women in funny car. Courtney's won a few. Alexis DeJoria won last time out. So we had her on last week. And but poor Erica Enders, who was leading the points in pro stock, has now dropped down to fourth. They took 2 weeks off of the schedule to work on things. At least that's what she said officially when she was on last. And they should have left things alone, I think.
Oh, that's
you
know, not good.
Because they took 2 weeks off the schedule going into the countdown, and then the first race of the countdown, she didn't do too good. And this weekend, she didn't get past the second round. And for some reason, the countdown, she lost points at Indy, which was a carryover to Z-Max. And then Z-Max got rained, so they carried it over to Dallas.
Okay.
It's just kind of strange. Like, they don't race, like, you know how NASCAR, they rain out on Sunday, they run on Monday.
Right.
NHRA, if they rain out at Charlotte, they finish up at Texas.
Oh, wow. That's really
and that's what happened with the U.S. Nationals in Indy. They rained out in Indy and ran in the they finished the event in the qualifying round at Charlotte.
Now, what does that do for those who don't run the other rounds? I mean, I guess it really doesn't matter because most of the time they all run the next round anyway.
Well, what those depend on like where they pick up the ladder. So if they get through rounds one and two and they only got to finish semifinals and finals, the ones that lost the first couple of weeks, they continue working on the event they're supposed to be at. So they would be working on the Texas event. Like, and then everybody else, they'd have to go back and forth, finish up. They'd have to run their Charlotte event, finish up at Texas in like maybe round two of, before the second or third round of qualifying. Qualify because they run four rounds there, and then they go eliminations on Sunday, and then if that gets cut short, they'll push it off till the next event.
Oh wow!
Yeah, it's kind of screwed up. They should just stay the other day and finish it up.
Yeah, I think that make it easier on everybody too if they did it that way.
Because it got confusing. I was like, okay, where's the I'm looking at the chart for the results of the one. I was like, where's it at? And it will be carried over until prior to round three qualifying, which is on Saturday, and then they run that. And they also had the Nitro, Traxxas Nitro shootout at that time. And, of course, that's just a money-only race, and John Force won that one. He seems to be getting better as he's getting older again. He had a little lull there, and then he won the championship in 2010 or 11 when he called the show. Just about we had him on the show just about every other month. I think they were more apt to come on when we were on regular radio. Now I get the other guys.
Still get a good mix.
That's all right. I like to get them all. I can't say that I haven't had championship racers on. We've had Sean Langdon, who was last year's Top Fuel champ, John Force, of course, several times, who's a funny car champ, and then the biker champs. I think Hector Rana Jr., he was a champ. Of course, it seems to be the Harleys running in the pro stock bike class.
I like my Harley. There's nothing wrong with Harley racers.
No, makes you wonder why. Seems like most of the field is in Buells, and the top two points getters are Harleys. You would think they'd say,
the Harleys are better.
I would think so.
I'm biased. I like my Harley. Even though my Harley's not here right now, I like my Harley better.
Well, that's good. So anyway, you going to be down in Dover the whole weekend, or?
I am going to be down there on Saturday and Sunday this weekend.
So that ought to be pretty busy, because we don't have trucks this year, so they run the K&N East Finals, I think.
Right, yep, K&N East will run on Friday. Then we'll have Nationwide and Cup ends the rest of the weekend.
So, are you picking? So, you picking anybody while I got you on the line?
You know, you went with Johnson, and as much as I'm not a Kyle Busch fan, I'm going with Kyle Busch.
Going with Kyle? Let's try to go with
you. I'm going with Kyle.
Brad Kay or Joey. Or even Harvick.
Kyle's been very good there, too. You got to remember, he keeps setting himself up for the sweep.
Yeah, that's just it. He does good on the one day and not the other.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm going to pick Kyle.
All right. Sounds good. I'll let you get back to business. It looks like you had some things come up you had to tend to.
Yeah,
we had some
failures in the shop.
Tell the new Mr. Semper Fi from the Jarhead guy.
I can do that. I can gladly do that when he gets home. He's out in my Harley right now. He took it to work today, so he'll be home soon on my Harley.
Gotcha. All righty then. So I guess we better let you go, get on out of there, and get some rest, which is good. You've been getting some from what you've been telling me.
Yeah, we're starting to get a little bit better of a schedule. I mean, the racing season up here is winding down for us, so a little bit more laid back.
You want to get any quick plugs in for any of the dirt tracks? Are they all done up there now?
Well, Grandview just had their Freedom 76. We had Stuart Friesen win Saturday night. So congrats to Stewie on winning the big event. He took home over $25,000. But we're not done yet. We have one more race in October. It's the Halloween 525 by Bob Miller and the Thunder on the Hill Racing Series. So we got one more race there. We also have the Candy Bowl at Susquehanna Speedway that'll be coming up in October. And I think that's going to pretty much round out our schedule then for the year, other than a couple motocross races. So we're kind of taking it mellow and keeping it local for the rest of the year, unlike last year when we start traveling to different states and everything. So we're going to kind of take it easy this year and regroup and get ready for next year.
All right. Well, you have fun at Dover this weekend. Tell everybody I said hi.
Will do, yep. And tell everybody to keep an eye on the Facebook page for pictures to go through.
They've probably forgot about me already.
I doubt that.
You know, it's been what? Last race I was there was 2011.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
To get you back up.
The late race of 2011.
Wow. That's been a while.
Yeah. I don't even know if he'd credential me any. Hey, what, he's credentialing you.
Yep, we'll be down there.
We had to fight for the one last year, but at least we got it back in. And good thing I had the Richmond coverage in there.
Yeah, we're all good.
All right. So you have fun there, and we'll have you back on to do the Dover wrap-up show so you can get credentials for next year, as well as the picture.
Yep,
so.
We'll be on next Monday, and then hopefully I'm in good enough shape the following Monday to give you some good race results.
All righty. Talk to you later, Tam.
See ya.
Okay, bye-bye. There you have it, Tammy Allman, my partner in crime at Garage Talk Live. We'll be down at Dover covering, look for the pictures this weekend. That's about all there is for me to do. So we'll talk about next week's race. Go on the Facebook page. I'll be making my picks. Of course, Jimmy Johnson, I'm not hiding that. He's the king of Dover, so we'll see you all next week. Good night and good racing.